Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. We're going to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. I pray this will be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to read 9 or 10 verses here real quick, as quick as I can, about 10 verses. Pray this will be a blessing to you. If you'll shout loud, I'll preach fast. Notice I didn't, well, I better not go down that road. Pat will be, no, fast. Thank you, Jim. You found Genesis 3 and 1. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Praise God, that sounds sweet. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's what he says to the lost today. No need to be saved. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and it shall be as, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to tell you, go on record today saying there's some things you're better off not to know. That's the reason they're trying to institute in our children things that it's too heavy for them to carry. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. One time she'd opened his mouth, stood there in silence, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Father, I love you. I thank you for this day and this time and for the songs and the service thus far. Now, Lord, I can't do a thing without you, but I can do all things through you. I'm praying you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me with accuracy inside the bounds of this holy writ. And I'm praying, God, that you would stir the congregation and you would give them ears to hear with. And I pray you'd give me unction to preach with, Lord. Help you, preacher, another time. I praise you for all you've done and all you're going to do. Praise your name forever. Worthy is the Lamb of God. We ask these things in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Familiar ground to Bible students and Christians. We know this story inside and out. I've heard it preached it myself for years. And I want to preach this morning, though. I'm interested in that phrase in verse number 8 when he said, and they heard the voice. I want to try to preach on the voice. We have here, as an introduction into this particular passage of Scripture, we have that after the sin and them being with the devil, I mean in the very presence of the devil himself, and there they are, and then we see when God shows up, now we know that he's omnipresent, don't get me wrong, but when God shows up with the voice, first we see the Adam's absence. Adam's not where he was before. Where he was before was walking with God in the cool of the day. There was a place where he met with God, but on this day, because of sin, Adam is absent. I think that's prevalent in churches across America today. Congregations, I like what Randy posted. He said, if watching it on TV is good enough, and I think those that watch this that can't come, can't attend, and we got them in Uganda. Hello, brother in Uganda. We got them all over the world watching our services. It blows my mind how many people watch the First Free Will Baptist Church. And it's for those that can't get here. But for those that can and don't, here's the thing. The next time we have a dinner, watch that on TV and see how good that is. I thought that is pretty good. There's just some things you can't get on TV. Adam had a place to be. And Adam wasn't in his place. He was absent. Can I tell you, as a member of the First Free Will Baptist Church, you have a place to be. If you don't want it to be your place, don't join up with us. If you don't join, I won't fuss. You can come and go as you please, be an attender, be a SMO, Sunday morning only, whatever, don't matter. But if you join, you got a place. Don't be absent from your place. Your place makes a difference. When you're seated in your place, it makes a difference. Don't be absent from your place. Adam wasn't. Now, I'm not talking about reasons. There's times you're sick. There's times things happen. I understand that. God understands. But if it's easier to watch it on TV and put your feet up and drink your soda pop and eat popcorn, huh? Like watching a picture show, that's what I'm talking about. So that's a little abrasive on a Sunday morning preacher. This book's abrasive. It'll rub the rough spots off of you and polish you up. I say thank God for the abrasiveness of the Word of God. He chastens those that he loves. Our grandson, who seems to be without fault, got in trouble last night. I heard his daddy or mama one gave him a few swats in there in the living room over some kind of goofy game on an iPad. And he wouldn't quit crying, and I was trying to study. So I went in there and got him, carried him to the bedroom, said, we're going to have a talk, boy. I can get away with it. Mom and dad can't. Hey, listen, that's just part of, that's the perk of being a pa. And so I set him down on the bed, and I said, no, listen to me, son. I said, Daddy knows things that you don't know. And Daddy knows things that'll hurt you and they're not good for you. And Mom and Daddy's just trying to keep you from them things that's going to hurt you because they love you. Now, Granny and Pa loves you. Grandpa and Grandma loves you. We love you, but we're going to keep you from things that hurt you even if you want them. I'm going to say, if you're sitting in church, when it's time for church, it's a lot less likely you're going to get run over by a truck or something. Be in your place. Wasn't only he was absent from his place, but then he attempted to hide. The attempt to hide is futile. All things are naked and open before God. Look here. He sees you in the shower in the morning. Sees you when you lay down to go to bed. Sees you when you get up. He sees you when you blow your horn at somebody like I did the other day. This girl nearly hit me, and I went, meh. And if she'd have stopped, I'd have said, hey, look where you're going. Thank you. See, that thank you's like saying bless their heart when you've said something bad about them. They're a heathen. Oh, bless their heart. Kind of puts a little salve on the sore. He attempts to hide. His attempt is futile. God knows where we're at every moment, every day, in sin, out of sin, in church, out of church, driving down the road, sitting at the restaurant. God knows the intents of our heart. No need to hide, Adam. just come clean. Just come clean. And then here's what happened. Jigger, did you pinch Mercy back there? Pinch that baby. She's missing the preacher, is what it is. Answered, here's what happens. He's absent from his place. Look here, he attempts to hide, but then eventually, and this comes to all of us, heard it in Sunday school, he has to answer the voice. God's not going to quit talking just because we quit listening. That's worth saying again. God won't quit speaking because we refuse to hear. He'll just keep saying it. And there isn't anyone on the face of this globe that can shut him up. I think it's nine times in the first chapters here you see where God said. And so he's been saying it ever since. Are you still with me? You know what he had to do? He had to answer the voice. Now, that I'm in front of the book. I told Roger Buck today, I said I'm preaching from Genesis to Revelation. Don't panic. I can do it in 25 minutes. Here we have him. Now we go all through the Old Testament. And God's speaking to people. He spoke to Moses at a burning bush. He spoke to his prophets. He spoke to his kings. He spoke to David. And he done it through a prophet at times. God just done a whole lot of talking. Are you still with me? But then we come to the book of Malachi. And he's got his old prophet writing there in Malachi. And they're mixed up, messed up bunch. By the time you get to Malachi, listen, they're having trouble. You know why they're having trouble? Because they're not listening to the voice. They've had opportunity after opportunity to hear what the voice said, and the voice would say one thing, and they'd do something else. You know what the Bible said? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And God tells us, like I was trying to tell Colin, he tells us things for our protection, and he wants to help us. He doesn't do it to be mean. He doesn't give us everything we want. Praise God for that. I know it's a poor analogy, but Garth Brooks sung a song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." Everybody in here ought to say amen to that right there. I'm glad he does answer some prayers. And he answers more than some. I prayed Dusty out of three or four different relationships and prayed him right into another one. Hallelujah. I used to think that daddy picking the bride might be a bad thing. I thought I'd done everything but walk over and touch her and say, "You're the one." Years, Brother Randall, after Malachi, about 397, according to some dates. So right at 400 years, God quit talking. Oh, my. God's not saying nothing for 400 years. That's a long time in the dark. Now, there's a lot of things transpired in that 400 years. The Maccabean, they rose up and tried to fight their way out of it. It was futile. They was going down. Alexander the Great come along, done a whole lot of conquering, took pity on Jerusalem, liked that place. Matter of fact, he done some favors for them. He liked them, but he couldn't get it done. But watch this. Pompey comes, and about 150 years before Christ's time, it's 175, and he conquers the place, and now the Romans take over. And they're appointing the people in prominent, powerful positions, and he's putting them there for purpose. That's a lot of peas. And now the time comes. There's a little virgin girl over in Nazareth. And the angel shows up, and she hears a voice. Somebody starts talking. And when she gets to Elizabeth's house and tells her Elizabeth's already with child, and this baby in the womb of his mama begins to do flips. Hey, girls, how'd you like to have been Elizabeth? When she says she's with child, praise God, old John Baptist in the womb is a leaping. That's why I disagree with my brothers that preach this, and I may be wrong about it. I'll find out when I get in heaven. But they say when John was, he was discouraged and disgruntled and down and out when he sent his disciples out to see if Jesus was the real one. I don't think that's the case at all. He knew him in the water. He knew him in the wilderness. Praise God, he knew him as the witness. He knew him. Nobody knew him like John. Nobody in this room knew him as early as John knew him. But I tell you who didn't know him, them two witnesses that he sent over there. He wanted to, as Brother Paul Phillips would say, he wanted to learn them something, Paul. And now John grows up. And what we see, number one, today we see a lone voice. We see a lone voice comes from Isaiah 40 and about verse 3. He said he's going to send one, and he's going to come crying out of the wilderness, and he's going to say, make straight the paths for the Lord. 700 years plus a few before the birth of John Baptist, the prophet said, this guy's a coming. And all of a sudden, after four, praise God, I'm feeling preaching right now. After 400 years of silence, boy, God's timing's impeccable. After 400 years of silence, God said, hey, open your mouth, John, and tell them who's on the way. John comes out of the wilderness. He couldn't have got in the Baptist church. He didn't have a three-piece suit on or a necktie. No, he couldn't even fit in with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Hey, they're out there, and he's one lone voice. Out of 400 years of silence, there's one guy that begins to speak, and they've never heard anything like it. He said, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. Make his paths straight. It was foretold 700 years before he got there, and then it was fulfilled just boom, one day. You know, that's how God does things? It's like this. It's like something you anticipate, and just voila, there it is. Like the kids coming over. You ain't seen them in a while. And they just... You know they're coming. All of a sudden, wham, Josh, there they are. Praise the Lord. That's the way it is. God had promised, God had said, plan had been made, things are going to happen. All of a sudden. Now, a lot of people's ignorant to what's going on. John's not. He said, I'm the one crying in the wilderness. Wonder where he learned that. From God. There's one lone voice. You know what you are? One lone voice, Jimmy. Someone said, I can't recall who it was, but I heard this, read it. They said, well, I'm one. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do all things, but I can do something. I may just be one, but there's something I can do. You know what? You're a voice. You're a voice. You're a voice. No one has your testimony but you, Bubba. No one. You are unique above everyone else on the face of this planet. You have a unique testimony. No one else has it. And God permits things to come our way in order for us to glorify him through all the mess we've been in. One lone voice. I think we ought to say, like John, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight his path. Now, we see it foretold. We see it fulfilled. Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9, we see it finished. John's done. John's done. Now, I don't question God. I don't understand some things, but I don't question him. His ways aren't my ways. I can understand some of the things he does. But I know this. If I'm going to have anybody planted out for me, if I'm going to have anybody write the story of my life, I'll tell you who I want to write it. Jehovah Jireh. Hey, that's who I want writing the story of my life. I don't want me to write my own story. It'll end in chaos and corruption. And here he is. And it's finished for John. It's finished early. He's 6 months older than Jesus, so he's probably just 33, 34 years old. Somewhere there. Could have been from 33 to 30 and a half. I don't know exactly. I don't have the timeline on that just right. But he's young. He's young. I thought I was kind of old in my mid-30s when I started preaching. Then I look at Dusty. He's about to turn 40, and I thought, man, he's young. I was young when I started. Cal Ray's preaching last night, talking about being 16 when he preached his first message. I thought, you was a baby. I was young, but you were a baby when you started. But there comes a time when it's finished. Night cometh when no man can work. What you going to do for him, you better do now. You know why? Because you got today, you don't have tomorrow. You got right now. You got now, maybe this afternoon. Maybe, we don't know. But it was finished. One lone witness. Number two. Then we have this. We have the lone voice. Then we have the loving voice. You know what he said in Matthew? Let me get my scriptures right. Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3. Here's what Jesus said. Or the Father said, confirming Jesus, he said with a loving voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. I wished I could have said about my mom and dad that everything I ever done would please them well. I can't say that. Some of my young people in this church have grown up, and some of them's never caused their moms and dads a minute of problem. God bless you. I'm proud of you. Proud as punch. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see him saying that to confirm Jesus as being the only begotten Son of the Father. And I'm moving right along. But then in Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9, here's what he said. We see him confirming Jesus, and then we see him in those chapters commanding the disciples. Here's what he said. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Don't listen to the priest. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, this is my beloved Son. He confirmed him, and then he commanded the disciples, hear him. Listen to him. I would to God. Well, God got on me in revival this week. Friday night, best crowd, best invitation of the week. Dennis, you was there, amen. Would you, amen, you and Junior? Mike came some. But what it was is conviction come. Conviction came. I preached on the two places, heaven and hell. And I preached heaven sweet. They got to shout, and then I got to talk about hell and in the invitation, and hell being the place where our lost family members are going. I'm telling you, a multitude of people come and prayed. I'm trying to be kind. We sat unmoved by the word of God and our people dying and going to hell. He commanded them, hear ye him. He's going to talk about hell more than heaven. Listen to what he's got to say. But then in John, I'm going to read you something. You don't have to turn. You can look it up when you get home. But in John, I'm going to read you this. This will be a Bible quiz. You can find it when you get home. I want you to listen to this. Listen real close. See, he's confirming who Jesus is. Then he commands the disciples to hear him. And then he changes speakers. In other words, he quits talking. The Father becomes quiet. Hear me right here. Father, glorify thy name. Jesus speaking. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. His name. That the people, therefore, that stood by heard it. Now see, before he had confirmed Jesus before the multitudes. And then he confirmed the command went to the disciples. And then he says it again amongst the people. Jesus answered and said, or the people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it was thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this is the voice. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. God's trying to tell them, the one that's going to be talking now is Christ. Amen. How do you know that? Because we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He's full of grace and truth. Are you still with me? Amen. I'm winding down. We see a lone voice. All of us are that. We see a loving voice. That's God the Father, but he turns to God the Son. Then we see this. We see a loud voice. Colin don't like loud things. He'll say, too loud. Instead of turn it down, too loud. It's a loud voice. In Matthew 27 and 50, you're going to find this. You're going to find the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. And he bowed his head and cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. He surrendered his spirit that he might die. No man can take my life. I have power. You don't have that power. You can lay in this floor and say, I yield up the ghost all day long. You can lay there and you starve to death, but it won't go anywhere. But Jesus had the power. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He had the power to scream with a loud voice, it's finished. Luke said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He recording what he said to the Father. And he bowed his head and yielded up the ghost. We see that at the crucifixion. But that sounds, well, that must have been the end. No, we know because of John 10:16, we know that's not the end. He said, listen to this. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He hadn't gathered them all on the day of crucifixion, but he's began gathering after the resurrection. And there's those of other fold. We learned about the Samaritans this morning. The Jews didn't want them. Jesus wanted them. And not only the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. Us Anglos. That ought to at least make you smile. I'm telling you, you got family members that don't like you, but Jesus wants you. Isn't that something? God of heaven wants me. I don't even want me some days. But God of heaven wants me. I got other sheep. I'm going to bring them with me. Well, hey, look here. Why would that be loud? They're going to hear my voice. Now watch this. Why did he say that? Because prior to that, prior to him saying that I've got other sheep that I'm going to bring with me. Prior to his crucifixion, we have John 5:28 that says it like this. I'm reading it so I won't leave anything out. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Let me tell you, when somebody shouts loud enough to wake up the dead people, that's a pretty loud shout right there. Hey, look here. And there's two resurrections there. There's the resurrection for the living, the saved, and then there's going to be a resurrection for the dead 1,000 years later. Listen, two resurrections there, but that same voice gets them both up, praise God. It's a loud shout. He said in the Revelation, there's 7 churches mentioned. And he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen, you're going to have to get past being hungry right now and being tired. Surely we're not hungry. I mean, we're an hour ahead of where we was yesterday. Amen. We're going to have to wait an hour after church to be hungry. Blanton said, what hungry got to do with it? Just eat. But he that hath an ear, get past the natural. Get past the, what am I doing now? Get past that and get into the spiritual and say, hey, am I hearing this? Why would he ask me to hear? Because he heard me. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication. He hath inclined his ear unto me. God, it means to lean out over heaven and cup your ear so that you'll get every word. And God Almighty, Jehovah, the Eternal One, inclined his ear to me. I tell a story in a message I preach. I preached it at Freddie's. Freddie and I done a tent meeting for years, and done about 10 years of it, something like that. And I preached a message out there, Ravens Still Fly. And in that message, Ravens Still Fly, I use an illustration on something I heard on the radio from a college student. Good to see you, Morgan. Praise God. When my girls come home. Probably not to stay, though. Going somewhere else. This kid was in a religious class of some sort. I don't know if it was world religion, modern religion, whatever it was. But the topic of the night was this in this class, and I'm telling this, I'm done. The topic was, does God still speak to people? Does God still speak? And they kicked it around the table there. And some said, I believe he does. He speaks to us through his word. That's right, he does. When you read this book, that's Jesus speaking to you. And one said, well, I believe it. He speaks through the preachers. I'm one of them. You're a minister. Everyone's a minister. When you give your testimony what God's done for you, you're speaking for the Lord. And they're giving this all out and that one had an idea, and there's a few of them said, I don't believe he talks to anybody anymore. So we read the book, we know what the book says, I just don't think he speaks to anybody anymore. The problem I'd have with that would be John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. If I'd have been in class that night, I'd say, what about this scripture, John 10:27? But they're young, they're learning. You remember how it was when you were 18 years old. Yeah, you knew everything there was to know about everything that had ever been, didn't know nothing about nothing. And then you lived about 25 or 30 years and thought, you know what, I didn't have it figured out after all. This boy's sitting at the table. He's not said much. He gets in his car, starts his old car up, and said, before he puts it in park, he said, Lord, if you still speak to people, speak to me. If you're still speaking to people, Lord, speak to me. Throwed her in reverse, backed out and said, stop and buy a gallon of milk. He said, something's wrong with me. Why did I even think that? He's driving down the road. He can see the 7-Eleven sign. And he said, it comes back like somebody's whispering in his ear, stop and buy a gallon of milk. He said, I don't even know why I'm doing it. Pulls in the parking lot, goes in the store, buys a gallon of milk, comes out and set it down the seat and said, I have no idea why I've bought a gallon. Lord, is this you? Nothing. He starts on down the road. He gets down the road a little ways and he said that same thought process. See, the message price of the coconut in that he said, the Spirit is the voice that speaks to conscience. That's the best definition of the Holy Ghost I've ever heard in my life. It's the voice that speaks to conscience. And that's the difference between you and a dog. Your own dog bites you, don't have a conscience. He said that voice came on him, that thought, profound thought, said, turn in the next road. He said he knew where the next road was. It was not a good place to be. He thought, oh, I've misunderstood. How many of you ever done that? God said, hey, you know you need to do this. And you say, well, I must have not heard that just right. I think I need to go over here. A lot more comfortable over there. He said, I bought a gallon of milk. I might as well turn down the road. He's driving up that road. He's looking around. And I'm telling you, and I notice this house, a dim light bulb on the porch, shaggy curtains in the windows. It's in disarray. And all of a sudden, here it comes again. Go over and take the gallon of milk and knock on the door. He thought, I've come this far. He takes the gallon of milk. He goes across the street, walks up the shaky stairs, knocks on the door. This guy comes to the door with his shirt off, looks like he's ready to fight. And said, when he opened the door, he just shoved the gallon of milk in there and said, I brought you a gallon of milk. Said the guy that stood there and looked at him, never said a word, just looking at him. Said about that time a woman come around the corner from the hallway and she looks at him and she's crying. She said, what are you doing? He said, I brought you a gallon of milk. She said, are you an angel? He said, no. She said, I was in the bedroom begging God. Because I got a baby and don't have nothing to drink. I said, God, if you still hear me, you get us a gallon of milk. We don't have two pennies to rub together. We need something. We need it now. Are you hearing me, God? Said the boy, said, I want to report to you that God still speaks to people. Amen. He said, so if anyone ever asks me, can you hear the voice of God? I say, absolutely. I can hear it. You know what it is? It's the voice. They said when they was supposed to arrest Jesus, never a man spake like this man. Can I tell you, it's not, and it could be audible. I won't argue with somebody that said they heard it audibly. Now, I've got some guys that's dogmatic. They say, can't do it. I'm telling you, God do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. But he speaks to us by the Spirit of God now. He's the one that guides us in all truth. He's the one that if you're here today and you're unsaved, you're guilty before God and you know you're guilty. Because you feel guilty right now. And you don't know why you feel guilty. I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of God's come where you are and saying guilty, guilty, guilty. For us, it's trying to hide from him. He's saying, I know where you are. I know where you're at. You're not where you should be. You know why they killed John the Baptist? Because he told a guy it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. And it made her mad. And she waited till she got opportunity and got his head cut off. Here's what I thought. When she pulled the lid off that charger, and there's that old bloody sunken head of John. Don't you know she woke up every night thinking about that? Haunted her the rest of her life. Said she get saved? I don't think so. We'd have heard about it in the book, I believe, if she had it. That thing she done, thought she got away with by cutting that old prophet's head off, sent her to hell and sent him to glory. I've been a little long, but I don't apologize because I'm telling you, I preach what God gave me to share with this congregation on this day. I want you to hear the voice. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now that's in reference to a church, but it also a church is made of individuals. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, if you'll open, I'll come in, I'll sup with you and you with me. Don't you stand, bow your heads. Don't run and play something soft on the piano. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.